Oh God, we come to you aware of the power of your judgment, trusting in the predominance of your love. We lift up to you ourselves and all who are in distress, and those who've gone astray, and those who are not well, and all who have been victimized by addiction to substances or other things that affect mind, spirit, emotional state, or physical body. And we trust you, O God, knowing that you loved us into existence and that you see us through its challenges and its beauties, not just to pursue some arbitrary punitive judgment, but to saturate us as you saturate this world, your whole world of heaven and earth, with healing and forgiveness and hope. This is your love, O God. This is your cross born for us, O God. This is your Son born for us, O God. Help us to look for and find and see and recognize him in one another, in all your children, and in the face we see in the mirror. Amen. We are not possessed by any demon or devil or satanic power. We're not. But the things we sometimes call our private demons feel so personal. Our illnesses, physical, mental, and otherwise, that distort our perception and the way our brains work and the ways we interact with people, and our weaknesses for drugs and the countless things we use as drugs, money, food, sex, alcohol, power, abusive behavior. If our out-of-whack desires for these things, each of us with our own, weren't weaknesses, then overcoming them as we do wouldn't take such Herculean strength. And the worst of what we can be and do, the fear-based hatreds that we dress up as our personal opinion, the abandonment of the teachings of Jesus Christ based on our preferred economic and demographic theories that emphasize my right to get whatever I can, keep whatever I want, and do whatever I feel like, and all the evil impulses that pulsate from somewhere deep within, the fantasies of violence and covetousness, and of how the world would be so much better if I could just be rid of all the people I don't like, or don't trust, or don't want to have to deal with anymore. We are not possessed by any demon or devil or satanic power. But these private demons we carry around with us do seem so personal. They say, I know you're hungry. And I know what you're hungry for. And you and I both know that we're not just talking about bread. Well, what if I told you that you can have anything you want? You can conjure ways to satisfy your craving to the point that you don't have to care about anything or anybody else. And Jesus quoted a writing that said, people live on a lot more than just the things we hunger for. That's what Jesus said. What do you say? When those private demons encourage you to take whatever your basest hunger is for, even if you have to conjure it artificially from something that had its own reality already, like turning a stone into bread, or like turning somebody else's marriage into your own playground, let's say. Or taking God's good balance, delicate balance of creation and converting it into plastic pollution and mass extinctions so you could enjoy yourself. Or taking trusting, caring people and turning them into means to your own ends. Jesus said, we live on a lot more than just the things that we hunger for. What do you say? Because humanity doesn't just live on the things that meet our animal desires. And those inner demons, those private demons, also like to say, I can set you up in extravagant circumstances that right now you only dream about. Wouldn't you like that? In your heart of hearts, don't you want that as much as anything in the world? Wouldn't you like to have it that way? All that money, all that power, even just for a day, even just for an hour. I can take you to the mountaintop and show you every luxury in the world, and I can give you unlimited resources. Hey, you're a good person. You'd probably do some good with it, right? I mean, more than you're able to do now. And between you and me, don't you think God would love you a little more? You did that? If you had all that money and power and just like committed like 1% of it, that would be so much more than you can give right now. Wouldn't the media love you? Wouldn't the world love you? There is a way. You could take and have everything. You just have to promise not to care about anybody, including God. But think of all the good you could do. And Jesus quoted another source that said, worship and serve only God. He could have written a whole sermon after that, but that's all he had to say. In the face of the hurricane winds of temptation, and we are all of us in this room, and I know we each have our own struggles, some of them dire. But globally speaking, I'm saying we are people of enormous privilege and opportunity. In the face of temptation, with much less restriction than billions of other people, literally billions of other people in the world, when the temptation comes to cut corners and write the good of others out of the equation in order to advance our share, Jesus said, worship and serve only God. What do you say? And those private demons of ours like to say, you're a person of God. You know God loves you. Why don't you just go ahead and engage in whatever self-destructive behavior presents itself? I mean, you could jump off the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Didn't you hear the choir anthem? It's a psalm. It's in the Bible. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Sing that again. Come on, come on, come on. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. So go for it. Why not go for it? You know, that's theology, right? God will take care of you. And Jesus quoted something that had been said. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Which reads to me like, who do you think you are to treat God as your personal bodyguard on call for you 24/7, no matter what you decide to do? When the opportunity for self-destructive behavior is right there, and you could even claim later that God had given you a miracle to preserve your life, that's worth a book deal. What do you say? Or, I mean, maybe more appropriately, more to the point, what do you do? We are not possessed by any demon or devil or satanic power. We are really not. It's harder than that. We have to make our own choices. Every year at the beginning of Lent, I offer a series of questions formulated by Frederick Buechner, who wrote some decades ago, in many cultures there is an ancient custom of giving a tenth of each year's income to some holy use. For Christians to observe the 40 days of Lent is to do the same thing with roughly a tenth of each year's days. After being baptized, Jesus went into the wilderness where he spent 40 days asking himself the question what it meant to be Jesus. During Lent, Christians can ask one way or another what it means to be themselves. And so I invite you into this Lenten journey, and I offer you a moment to ponder. If you had to bet everything you have on whether there is a God or whether there isn't, which side would get your money and why? When you look at your face in the mirror, what do you see in it that you most like? And what do you see in it that you most deplore? If you had only one last message to leave to the handful of people who are most important to you, what would it be in 25 words or less? Of all the things you've done in your life, which is the one you would most like to undo? And which is the one that makes you happiest to remember? Is there any person in the world or any cause that if circumstances called for it, you would be willing to die for? If this were the last day of your life, what would you do with it? The devil, Satan, HaSatan, the Satan, the tempter, finished proctoring the exam with Jesus. The examinee had passed every test that had been thrown at him. And so the proctor kind of clicked his heels, gave a courteous little bow of acknowledgement, acknowledging the test taker's achievement, and maybe even gave a slight nod to show respect for the fact that he had done it in a state of famished fasting. And he turned and departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Luke tells us there will be an opportune time. The bookend on the other end of the earthly human embodied ministry into which Jesus has just now been initiated. It will come at a place on the Mount of Olives where Jesus is in prayer while disciples are sleeping. And the unspoken examination of Jesus at that time will say, "You have come here to be God, reaching out to enfold creation, to enfold humankind, to wrap each individual human being in God's embrace, to overcome the estrangement between God and humankind, which is not an estrangement forced on us by God, but the result of our turning away. You have come to save humanity and each human at the greatest cost. Will you take that cup or not?" Is there any person in the world or any cause for which, if circumstances called for it, you would be willing to die? But that time won't come for a while yet. This is just the beginning of Jesus' earthly incarnate ministry in his own physical body. atoms of which have long since returned to creation's natural cycle of decay and rearrangement. You may have one or two of those atoms in your body right now, in the water you drink or the bread you eat. But anyway, for now, the tempter has departed until an opportune time. And now that Jesus has passed the initiation into ministry, there's so much to do. There's so much food to share with so many hungry people. There's so much healing in a world of such woundedness. There's so much restoration in the midst of so much that is broken. So much beauty and truth to teach in a universe built on almost unimaginably good news. So for now, the questions are on the disciples. Will I go and do this ministry with him? And when the opportune time comes again, will I still be there? You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Those who love me, I will deliver, says our Creator. When they call me, I will answer. I'll be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them, and I will show them my salvation.